Hey, this is Mac B, the Wolf.
And this is Action Jackson from the Ugly American Werewolf in London Rock Podcast. Do you like Kiss?
If you do, you should really listen to Tom and Zeus of Shout It Out Loudcast. They know their stuff and they're funny as hell. Shout It Out Loudcast.
With Tom and Zeus.
That's right. We're back with another episode of Dorm Damage, the show where anything and everything is on the table and the table gets smashed. This week, we're talking about something that is near and dear to our hearts. Grudge music.
Did you just say we're going to talk about something called religion?
Oh, don't worry. An Ali G show retrospective episode will be coming soon. Would you, as a gesture?
It's been quite boring, to be honest.
No, but we're talking about grunge music and the term Big Four, which, let's be honest, most people in the music world, when you hear Big Four, I think it kind of originated with the thrash. Megadeth, yes. Megadeth, Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, Big Four. And then grunge comes over, everyone's like, Big Four of grunge, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Nirvana, Soundgarden. Is that the Big Four? Should there be a Big Five? Should there be a Big Six? We're going to talk about it.
We said, let's talk about grunge, and you said the Big Four. And I'm like, what's the Big Four? And you're like, you know what I'm talking. And it's just, yep. We right off the top, I'm like, we have a disagreement right there. Big Four.
Well, I get you're right. Personally, we have a disagreement, but I think, like I said, with thrash, it's like it's universally people who probably don't follow grunge or who don't like grunge. It's universally understood that those are like the big four, not the best four or not your favorite four.
Hold on. It's the big Seattle four. That's the difference.
Well, yeah, because grunge is a Seattle product, but I know, I know where you're going with this, and I'm ready to shoot.
Because
you
I will tell you right now, if you want to define what's really grunge music in that style, a band in Chicago is more grunge than a couple of those bands.
One of those albums is Smashing Pumpkins is not a grunge band.
To me, they're quintessential. Gish and Siamese Dreams is more grunge than any artist other than I would say Nirvana of the other big three,
which I think is probably the least grunge out of all of them, which is where the discussion comes of what is grunge. Because if you start looking at all those proto grunge bands that came before Alice in Chains, and you're looking at like
Green River, all that other
Mud
stuff.
Honey.
Yes.
They were kind of spun out of that punk revolution era. And then you started getting into, you know, Alice in Chains, they're a metal band. Soundgarden, they're a metal band. Pearl Jam, they're a classic American rock band. Like, that's why I think grunge,
Nirvana's punk pop.
Right. And I think trying to describe grunge is kind of like trying to describe like hair metal or that old cliche about that politician with pornography. I know what it is when I see it.
Well, because then what you had is bands like Candlebox, who was a Seattle band. That's nothing to do with those other bands, but they got thrown in. A band like Live got thrown in there, right? Other bands that are kind of like were in the alternative umbrella that all of a sudden now are they grunge because they want to put a label on it.
Just like the hair metal thing. Like we talk about bands, like they're not hair metal, but Tesla, they came out in the mid late 80s. Like, oh, they're not hair metal. You said, Candlebox, their career was even around before some of these bands. They just never made it big. And when they made it big, they thought they were a Pearl Jam ripoff when they were around, you know, early 90s, late 80s.
Yep. You know? And then there are plenty of other. When Green Day came out, I was like, dude, this is the biggest, most blatant Nirvana ripoff with the fucking strumming the lead singer.
The chord, like the three chords.
Yeah. And just screaming and being, oh, I'm crazy. I'm alternative and shit like that. And I'm like, this is such a ripoff of Nirvana. And they're not. And they really didn't get put in that grunge, but some people did. It's in that alternative, the punk hard rock kind of music. But it all depends. So I will tell you this, Tom. We said, let's talk about what's the big four.
Let me cut you off real quick. There's one band. We've been talking for a few minutes. One band neither of us have mentioned.
And then obviously there's Stone Temple Pilots, who when they first got out, everybody was, oh, that's a Pearl Jam clone. And I will grant you that Core is more grunge than anything they've done.
Oh, yeah. Because to me, Stone Temple Pilots is a true alt rock band, and they got more alt the further they went.
Avant-garde, alternative music.
Yeah, like art rock. Like Purple was a good blend of art, like art rock, alternative rock, grunge. And then by the time they get to Tiny Music, that's when they lost me actually on the Tiny Music album.
Yeah, they definitely change and evolve their sound big time, but they're in that. So let's say this: there are four bands that I'm 100% agreeing with, and that's the big four in Seattle. More than any other band, if you say the word grunge, to me, that means Nirvana. That's the quintessential. Yeah. Anytime there's a conversation, nobody says, "Oh, Nirvana's not grunge." That's grunge to me. Okay. Yeah. Then there'd be Pearl Jam is another one that gets thrown in there.
Yep.
I would agree. That's two. Then there's Soundgarden and Alice in Chains. I agree. That's the grunge big four right there. If you're sticking to that and saying to me, it's more the Seattle big four. However,
and then for me, a band that you know how much I adore and probably my favorite grunge album out of all of them. And maybe we'll do this on ARC. Is Screaming Trees, which is
that's grunge,
which is to me, and I'm not just saying it's because I love Sweet Oblivion and those other albums, Uncle Anesthesia and that kind of stuff. That to me really incorporates grunge, the vocals, the vibe. It's not like real heavy like Alice in Chains. It's Soundgarden. It's not real poppy like Pearl Jam. It's not real punky like Nirvana. It kind of checks off. It to me, it's more of like that really almost like proto grunge with a little bit of melody, which is why I think that album to me is just absolutely it's perfection for me as for that album. But that band, everybody thinks they're like a one hit wonder. Nearly Lost You from the singles soundtrack, which we've covered.
It's not. They're not.
Right. Of course.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. we're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of Scary Guys, Skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month. So just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
Yeah. And so, Tom, I would argue when you say grunge, there's a big six.
Okay.
So I would put STP and I would put Smashing Pumpkins in there. And there's a reason why. Okay. Not just because they like their songs, I like them and they're big bands and stuff like that. But I think those six are way above everybody else. And I'm not saying Smashing Pumpkins and STP are up there with Pearl Jam, Nirvana, but I'm saying the floor at Smashing Pumpkins, STP, Alice Chains, Soundgarden, and then everybody underneath. Yeah, there's a big drop. So there are bands like Hole, Screaming Trees, that are kind of around there underneath, not too Hole, far down.
Live Through This by Hole
great
is,
album.
Is arguably one of the great grunge albums of all time. And then if you're going to talk about other grunge, here's a band that they didn't really know what they were, and they became alternative rock. But even the Foo Fighters' debut album, that's wicked fuzzy guitars, alternative guitar-driven stuff. But that came out kind of like when there really was no grunge. That came out in the because if you think about the grunge itself is kind of like the when you talk about like the slasher era of horror movies. Everybody thinks it was like this like huge time-consuming era of music. It really was like only about 3 or 4 years total. And then you started having all the hangers-on and all the rip-off guys trying to be the next Nirvana, the next Pearl Jam. But the difference with Stone Temple Pilots and Smashing Pumpkins, I think they were grunge-ish at times, like we talked about. But Smashing Pumpkins, to me, became a full-blown alternative rock band. I mean, that melancholy and the infinite sadness, there's nothing grunge on that, really.
So at one point you were asking me earlier, what are you doing? Fucking writing down notes? I'm like, no. But I wanted to write, I did take down something that I wanted to bring to your attention.
Yeah, go ahead.
The reason why I say big six.
Yeah, and I get it. I get you.
It's not just because of that. It's also the success level.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously Soundgarden gets put in there because critically. But if you look at the numbers, I'll go to the top three albums from all these bands.
Yeah.
So Bad Motor Finger only went up to number 39. Super Unknown went to number one. Down on the Upside went to number two. Okay.
Yeah.
So they had a number one album. They had a number two album. So that's great. Down on the Upside, platinum. Bad Motor Finger, double platinum. Super Unknown, six times platinum. Go over to Smashing Pumpkins. Gish, platinum. So that evens out with Down on the Upside. Siamese Dream, four times platinum, which almost, you know, it's better than Bad Motor Finger and almost as good as Super Unknown. And then Melancholy is diamond because it's a double album. It went five times platinum. Melancholy went to number one. Siamese Dream went all the way up to number 10. So they each had number one albums. I would say that Smashing Pumpkins' three albums are way more successful than Soundgarden. When Melancholy came out and Bullet with Butterfly Wings out, Soundgarden has never had a song as big as that song. That song was like the biggest song in music, not just alternative or grunge. That song and that video was huge. And then Tonight, all those songs, all those videos were way ahead. They were like considered the ones that took up the mantle after Nirvana left, because Pearl Jam started going way alternative with Yield and No Code. And yet Smashing Pumpkin was putting out stuff that were hitting the charts, all their songs, all their videos. So I think they, for a while, were the biggest band for one point. So to me, it's, and they're not, you know, they're below the other ones as far as much below for me, how much I like them, but I got to give them credit. To me, I can't say Soundgarden has had more success or popularity. I think critically they have, than Smashing Pumpkins, but you got to put it up there. Now, if you go to,
well, hold on. I want to jump in on this. So I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but to, record sales are, that has no, to me,
but
that
do
doesn't
you give credit to being something. It's like one of those things when they did about baseball, like about Jim Rice and whether he makes the Hall of Fame. For like a period of years, he was the best hitter in baseball for like four years.
Yeah, of course,
so
he
to
was.
To me, that
my favorite
is,
baseball player growing up.
Yeah, same here. That for me gives you more credit than I had four more All Stars in a longer career.
Here's the counter argument though to the Smashing Pumpkins record sales though. Okay, yeah, maybe in that timeline of music, they were bigger than Soundgarden. However, I will tell you this. It's no secret, especially to you, what I think about Smashing Pumpkins in the year 2023. Gish, Siamese Dreams, and Melancholy and Infinite Sadness cannot hold a fucking candle to Bad Motorfinger, Super Unknown, and Down on the Upside. Those three Soundgarden. Okay, well, it's my opinion. My opinion
and
is
you
making,
think it doesn't.
I think those Smashing Pumpkins album, I think Siamese Dream is a timeless album. Melancholy and Infinite Sadness, to me, it reminds me of like Dookie by Green Day. It was very of the time. I think both bands suck in 2023. And I think neither of those albums, to me, I could throw on Down on the Upside, Bad Motorfinger, Super Ono right now, and they sound kick-ass, heavy, fresh, and not of the time, to me. But that's also because I like Soundgarden way more than both of those two shitty bands.
Yeah, I like Smashing Pumpkins, and I think those albums do hold. I'm sorry, but fucking the opening track to Siamese Dream, Cherub Rock.
That's amazing.
May beat every fucking song that's opened up during that time period. And it's in the lyrically, vocally, all that stuff. I think he's amazing. I do. I think he's one of the most annoying human beings of all time. But I can't take away the credit on that. The other one I was going to say is then you get into Stone Temple Pilots.
Yep.
Between Core, Purple, and Tiny Music, you had 8 platinum, 6 times platinum, 2 times platinum, a number 4 album, a number 1 album, a number 3 album. So can you say Soundgarden? It should be in a big 4 number than STP.
Oh, absolutely. You should. Of course. Well, but remember, we're not talking record sales because like when you talk
popularity too, though.
No. Record sales. I'm not even talking popularity. I'm talking about when I say big 4, whether it's again, thrash or grunge, I'm talking about the term defined. Grunge is this band. I'm not saying these bands sold the most records. I'm saying when you think of garbage, think of Akeem. Okay. When you think of grunge, these are the bands that solidify that term. I'm not talking about popularity, record sales, etc.
Because it's more Seattle in their part of the Seattle sound. And
maybe.
And
but it's like we've talked about before, like what's the big 4 of hair metal? I mean, that's a future episode. I don't even answer that right now. I'm just saying, because that is a future episode, of course. But that it's also like, because those like you think Anthrax and Slayer have sold a fraction of the records that Metallica has? You think Megadeth has sold a fraction? I mean, so, but that.
I don't believe in that shit, because I think Metallica is in and of itself on its own.
Right.
Because
but
the other three are like. Not even fucking close to popularity sales
because you're using popularity as a gauge. I'm using their musical styles, period. Forget about even selling one record. I'm just saying the sound of the band is defining the term. That's where I come in, which is why it's questionable to even say.
I would say Smashing Pumpkins fits in with Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, and Nirvana more than Pearl Jam does. Sound.
I don't think I would argue with that because Pearl Jam is weird because they balanced the beam between classic rock and alternative rock. And in terms of grunge, I mean, as much 10 is a perfect album, that's not grunge.
No.
Even Versus is probably more grunge than anything they've ever done. Because then you get to Vitalogy and they get real experimental. No Code is even more experimental.
Yeah, that's when they were like fucking
right.
you know what? We don't want to make, we don't want to be popular. Let's do something that is not going to be on the
exactly.
charts.
Exactly. And I think in terms of grunge, the sound, I think In Utero is more grunge than Nevermind. I'm not saying it's better than Nevermind. I think it's more,
way more.
I think it's way more grunge. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. In my opinion, grunge, I think of the one thing that sticks out to me more than anything is Feedback.
That distortion. Yeah.
Yeah. All that shit. Nirvana
was great at that.
And so was Smashing Pumpkin.
Siamese Dream might be the most distorted album.
Exactly. Yeah. That's to me. Alice in Chains had a little bit of that too.
Yep.
But Pearl Jam is too clean. The guitar is classic rock guitar.
It is. When you totally
think of Even Flow and how kick-ass the guitars are on that.
Yeah,
that's not grunge.
It's riffy. It's got a bridge. It's got a big soaring chorus.
But here's the similarities between that album and the other albums: songs, the way they write their songs, titles of songs that don't actually are in the song, lyrics that are made up of like sometimes 20 words.
Yep.
Words that are dragged out, and you have the lyrics in front of you and you're reading it, and you're like, I still don't know what he's fucking talking about.
Yep.
Vocals that you hard to distinguish.
Yep.
That is a similar trait, I think, in all of these.
Even a band, we didn't even talk about it, but even a band like Mother Love Bone, which became Pearl Jam, Mother Love Bone, if you go back and listen to them, that's like an arena rock band. Like they weren't even grunge.
No. And when you listen to the words in the vocals on the Big Six.
Yep.
Were you ever able to be like, I can understand what the fuck Scott Weiland is singing?
No.
I have fucking no idea what you're saying.
No idea.
Eddie Vedder? No idea. Lane
definitely
Staley?
Not Eddie Vedder. No.
No, Kurt. I can't fucking hear. You need the lyrics.
Yeah.
Similar trait.
Yeah.
I mean, do you need lyrics to hear what Janie Lane is saying in fucking Cherry Pie?
We'll do a big four hair metal. That'll come up soon.
But am I right?
You know what
he's saying.
Yeah.
She's my cherry pie.
Right. And then go listen to Yellow Ledbetter by Pearl Jam and tell me if you can interpret one word without the lyrics in front of you on your phone.
I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Home, sweet home.
That's it. Got it. That's right. That's right. Yep.
Go listen to fucking Lounge Act by Nirvana when he hits that last fucking chorus.
Oh, I know.
You're like, what the fuck is he saying?
The one thing I will say about these bands that people, you know, we know obviously there's a lot of listeners out there that are going to see this pop up on their podcast feed and be like, ah, fucking grunge.
Ah, grunge. Grunge. Well, but I'll tell you. Kill yourself. Ah.
Yeah, well, that's uneducated music people right there. Kill yourself. Give me a break. Thanks, Kurt, for pointing that shotgun at your fucking head and ruining it for everybody.
What are you talking about? I had my daughter was in the car driving her back, her and her friend from field hockey, and I had Nirvana playing and we were singing about something. She's like, oh, that's a nice song title. It was I Hate Myself
Self and Want to Die
from Beavis and Butthead. Yep. And then it's like, if you think about it, to these kids who have no idea. Oh, yeah. You're like, oh, Kurt Cobain killed himself. Oh, yeah, Chris Cornell killed himself. Scott Weiland dead. Mark
Lane
Lonigan,
Staley
dead.
Lane Staley dead. Yeah. It's like that scene in Austin Powers.
Andrew Wood dead.
People I know. Mama Cass dead. Ham sandwich. Like, it's like everybody's fucking dead.
Exactly. So they had that lifestyle. It's the music. What are they writing about? The clothing. That's the other aspect that connects all these bands.
The image.
The look. The attitude. The non-rock star attitude and look. The lyrics. The vocals. The guitar. The distortion.
But the thing about these bands, though, the music right now, 30 years later, to me, and I know to you, and I know to some of the listeners out there, it still sounds fucking kick ass. It sounds fresh. It doesn't sound. Go listen to Dirt. Go listen to Pearl Jam 10. Go listen to these albums. They're not, to me, again, they're not dated. Go listen to fucking Dookie by Green Day. That's a pile of Dookie. That album's fucking horrible. Now,
it's when not, I was in, when okay. I, when,
it's terrible. The fucking band's, Billy Joe Armstrong is fucking horrible. That band's terrible. Terrible, terrible band. And Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, terrible fucking lunatic that guy is. Awful. But anyways, that's a whole separate thing. But my point is the music survives, I think. When you listen to hair metal, a lot of it is you're listening to it for nostalgic reasons, okay? But you're not going to sit here and go, you know what? Let's put the X in sex. Yes. I mean, now you will, because I know you love that song.
I do.
But and it's a fun song. But what I'm saying is, like, if you go and listen to, like, Wood or Them Bones or you know, In Bloom or whatever, those songs are kick-ass still.
Go watch We Die Young, the video.
Yes!
When they're at the pool. And fucking Lane begins it with a, ooh, he does that old, yeah, ooh.
Yeah.
And then, and you see Jerry fucking banging his head. You're like, holy fuck.
We Die Young is Facelift. I mean, we didn't even talk about Facelift. My God.
So when I play that stuff, and a teacher asked Talia, because she likes to wear Nirvana stuff.
Nice.
He tried to test her.
Oh, name a song that pulled that shit.
And so she started pulling out other obscure kind of stuff. She likes Even in His Youth. And he's like, that's not a song by them. She's like, yes, it is.
I like how she's getting right? to arguments. That's awesome.
Yes. And but when you play these songs and you listen to the production and you listen to it nice and clean, you think back to yourself, like, what was it like when this music first came out on the scene? And you had no history, and you'd only discover more stuff by radio or going to your record stores.
That's it.
There was no fucking internet, Wikipedia. You had to figure
half,
it out.
Half the CDs we owned was because we went to the store. We went to the record store. Went to Strawberries in Brockton. Oh, I think that's how I came across the Candlebox CD. I'm like, oh yeah, all right, whatever. This is cool. I mean, that actually is a good album. That Candlebox album is actually really good.
To me, when we go back and we're like, let's have a discussion, Big Four. I think when you say grunge, there's a Big Six. It's the Big Six. Yep. And there's a couple other bands underneath there that have some good stuff. But if you want to talk about the period, it's those six bands combined. Because I can't talk about grunge in that era without definitely having Siamese Dream in there, Core and Purple and all those other albums. Yep. So do I think they're as good as the other ones? Yeah, I do. I really do. I think that those albums are just as good as Bad Motorfinger and fucking In Utero and what's the other one? Vitology and all that other stuff. There's some great albums from all six bands.
Oh yeah.
And when you say grunge, to me, that's what my mind goes to.
I gotcha. Okay.
And so I would hope that some of you guys that are like, heard some of these albums that we just mentioned and actually give them a shot. You know, just like you tell us, oh, you got to hear fucking Winger's sixth album and shit.
Yeah.
You guys need to start listening to some of these grunge albums and listen to it, not with the fucking minds. Oh, I killed my hair metal.
Right.
But give it a shot. I'm telling you, you guys are going to walk away being like, holy shit, what have I been missing?
I hope so.
Yeah. Till next time, Tom. Peace out, Girl Scout.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football.
FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.